scripture tonight, I would like for you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning reading in verse 8. And we're going to read verses 8 through 10. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we humble ourselves, dear Lord, to Thy presence and to Thy throne of grace. Our Father, we're so very thankful for Your wonderful love, Your mercy, and Your grace that You have given and bestowed upon each one of us. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have brought the people Your way tonight. And Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be with us tonight, whatever reason, I pray Your blessings be upon them. Our Father, I pray, Lord, Your blessings upon the service, O God, tonight. Lord, I pray that You just anoint me from upon high. Father God, that You just fill me with Your Spirit. God, I pray that as I preach Your Word, Lord, tonight, the message that You have given to me, I pray, our Father, that it might be a blessing to someone. Holy Spirit, we'd ask that You minister now to the lives of Your people here tonight. Lord, we'd ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. There are two events that's going to happen. So the scriptures that I read to you tonight, I'm going to talk to you about two great events that's going to happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The first event we're going to talk about is the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, the second great event is the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a day that will be for the Christians. It's going to be a wonderful day for the Christians for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it will also be a wonderful day for the Christians to face the judgment seat of Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not too sure I want to face the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, there's a good deal of confusion regarding the judgments that follow death. Many people believe that Christians are not subject to any kind of judgment because all their sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. And it is very true. However, certain verses declare that Christians will indeed be judged at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. We read in the book of Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. And it simply says this, "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Paul is speaking here to the Roman believers. He has a similar message to the believers of Corinth. And he says here, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due for that he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, in this context it is clear that in both incidents Paul is addressing Christians and not unbelievers. So basically tonight I'm going to talk to the Christians, and I believe that we're all in here, if Christians, so this message is for you. Now, unlike the great white throne judgment of unbelievers, the judgment seat of Christ is not for the purpose of condemnation. We know that believers cannot be punished for sin because Christ bore punishment on the cross. And therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You can read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Rather than a judgment of condemnation or an eternity of salvation, there are two purposes for this. In the book of Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And that's basically what we've read. Now we will be judged based on what we have built upon the foundation which is Christ. We make choices throughout our lives as the kind of things that we add to the foundation of our salvation. Have we built upon the rock with gold, silver, precious stones, those things that last for eternity, or with wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burned up? Have we rejoiced in trials so that our faith is proved genuine and the glory of God? We can read that in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it simply says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here we're talking a little bit about the trials. Do you rejoice in the trials? Have you ever suffered trials and tribulation and temptations in your life? I have. And have I rejoiced in them? I must say that not all. I know I was at church one time, and there was a lady in the church, her name was Jane. And I guess she just had that spiritual gift about her. That, you know, things were just, I couldn't believe what was happening. I'm thinking, this is unreal. Why is this happening to me as a Christian? Why is this happening to me? This should not be happening to me. I cannot understand why this is happening to me. And finally, Jane, she said, hey, Ron. And I said, what? Just the kind of day that I was having. I just said, what? She said, don't give me that attitude. I said, well then don't start with me. You know, just, you know, sometimes if that's how we are as Christians, we won't just like, you know, we wasn't fussing at each other, we wasn't fighting. But she knew, you know, she knows me well enough and I knew her well enough. But I said, what is it? And she said, you know what you're going through right now? I said, what's that? She said, you're going through trials. You're going through temptations. You're going through a lot of trials in your life. And she said, God is testing you. He is testing you. He's testing your faith. And I simply said to her, well, I wish he'd just quit it. I wish God would just, I said, God, will you just quit it? Now, was I mad at God? Well, I just said, God, I don't want to go through this. And she said, the Lord is putting you through the test to see how well you're able to withstand the test. How well you're able to withstand the temptations in your life. And I simply said to her, well, I must say that the Lord knew that all the time I was in school, I did not do well in school. Well, I did very well, except the trouble I caused, and we will not get into that. I caused many, many troubles. I caused teachers grief, and somehow they knew it was me. I had a girlfriend one time when we was in grade school, and I said, you see this tack? She said, yeah. I said, I want you to do something for me. She said, yeah. I said, I want you to take this tack and stick it in the teacher's chair. And when she pulls her chair, sit down on it, she's going to whoop. Did she? She sure did. She took that tack and I said, now be careful, the teacher's not. Now, she done anything I've asked her to do. I said, be careful, teacher, don't hit you. And she put her foot on there and she got it. She did. Teacher come in there. She was very careful. I think somebody squealed. And she pulled the chair back and she said, I want to know who put the tack in the chair. Now, nobody pointed fingers. And nobody said, Ron's girlfriend did it. I was in grade school and I said, you're going to be my girlfriend. Okay, you know, she's done everything I asked her to do. But anyway, the teacher got pointing back at me. Hey, I'm going to whip somebody here. I said, you ain't going to whip me. If you think you're going to whip me, you got another thing coming. I could tell you many more stories, but I will not. But anyway, sometimes we receive a lot of trials and trouble and temptations in our lives. And that is when God is putting us to the test. God is testing us to see how well we're able to withstand such temptations. There's a second function of the judgment seat of Christ is that of God rewarding us for our service and good deeds. Believers will receive crowns for different things based on how faithfully we have served Christ. Among the crowns we will receive are an imperishable crown for faithful endurance through trials. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Then there's a crown of rejoicing, which Paul speaks of as the presence of heaven, of others, in whom we have invested ourselves as he did. And you can read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. Then there's a crown of righteousness for our faith in him as our only source of righteousness. You can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Then there's a crown of glory with which we will participate in the glory of God. And that's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. And then there's a crown of life, which is the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you can read that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. And also one of the scriptures I'm going to read to you is in James. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he was tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life that Jesus hath promised that he would. Now, unlike the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of rejoicing for believers, those who have waited patiently for the day when we hear those precious words from our Savior, well done, good and faithful servant. And you can, and of course, that is found in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. You know, Jesus said, in John chapter 12 and verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And now comes the marriage supper of the Lamb. What's going to take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb? This is great. And the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 6 through 10. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And in verse 10, And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A lot of times when I took a fall, I tell people, My verse is in Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. It's good to know about the marriage supper of the Lamb, especially as outlined in the book of Revelation. I've heard people say, what kind of meals are we going to have in heaven? Maybe rice, maybe chili, maybe enchilada, some of the good stuff. But I hope that we have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of onions. I love onions, and if we have in heaven, I want lots, lots, lots of onions. So Lord, I'm putting in my request. Now we wonder. Some people wonder, what are we going to have? Can you just imagine that? And of course, I like angels' food cakes, soft, moist. But can you just imagine if Jesus been there? Who would like a slice of devil's food cake? What's going to take place, but it's going to be great where we're going to be able to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. There's a question I want to ask tonight. Who will be with Jesus? And we all know the answer. All those who believed on him on earth. What about the thief on the cross? In Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeking thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he saith unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now see, that was a thief on the cross. He knew that he'd done something wrong. And he just said, Lord, remember me. In verse 42, when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, Verily, or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, Well, Let me think about this.
Because after all, you was one of the thieves and the malefactor.
I'm going to have to think about this. He didn't say, tomorrow you'll be with me in paradise. Next week you'll be with me in paradise. He said, today. Today, you will be with me in paradise.
For the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple, plain and simple, just like it is. I was teaching a Sunday school class. Years ago. And the question was raised with this. They said, what if the pastor is preaching? He gives the invitation. And suppose a little child is saying, I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to walk forward and receive Christ as my Savior. I can just see that the question was this. If the preacher is preaching and he gives the invitation and the little girl or boy or child is sitting there and all of a sudden they get up and they start to walk down the aisle, take the pastor by the hand. What if Jesus returns at that moment? The question was this. They asked me this question. Do you suppose that child Jesus took with him? My answer to them is, yes, I do. Because of the faith of a child. Because of the faith of any person, that even because that's what she had in mind, I'm going to go down that altar, and I'm going to pray to receive Christ. And I believe that if Jesus was to come at that moment, that's who it would be. That she will be, that child will be saved. I tell you, it's going to be a great day when we see Jesus face to face. Let me read to you in the book of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it says this, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And behold, I come quickly. No, sorry. I don't want to read that yet. But I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My friends, is something bothering you and troubling you? The Bible simply says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Friends, I'm so glad that I have a home in heaven. If any of you was to ever drive by, there's a church in Van Buren. And right above the doors it says, our temporary home. The pastor put that sign up there. Somebody asked him one time, Pastor, his name was Don. They said, Pastor Don, where are y'all moving to?
He'd already forgot about that sign. He said, moving? We're not moving.
Well, there's a sign on your door that says, our temporary home.
So I wonder where you're building. And he said, oh, this is just our temporary home. And one day, we're going to make our home in heaven. The believers in Jesus Christ will make their way into heaven.
You see, it doesn't matter whatever you have, whatever you own, it is not yours. You cannot take it with you.
I've heard people saying, this is my home. Nobody's going to take it away from me. You can't take it with you when you die. You know what they say to me? Watch me. Watch me. I tell you, we don't even know when Jesus is going to return. I don't know if you've ever looked on YouTube. Jesus' second return. Hey, I actually looked on YouTube. I wanted to see. One of the things on YouTube, a woman said, Jesus is going to return in September 2019. Now I thought, how does she know this? I clicked on it. I want to hear a story. This is her story. I had it. She said, I was sleeping soundly. All of a sudden, I woke up. The Lord woke me up. I couldn't go back to sleep. I said, Lord, let me go back to sleep. And the Lord said, no, I want you. That's what she said. But the Lord said to her, I want you to get on YouTube. I want you to put on there that I am coming back. That I am going to take my children home. And she said, Lord, when are you going to come back? And he said, I'm going to come back by the end of September 2019. Now I want you to be sure you put that on YouTube. And she did. Guess what? September 2019 has done come and gone, and here we are in February of 2020, and we're still here. I wonder, is she still here? Oh, my friends, I do not want to be the one to sit down and make calculations and make notes. All the calculations that we need is right here in the Bible. It's right here in the Word of God. That's the only calculation that we need. The Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming back. No one knows. But sometimes, why do we make heaven? It's almost like you're saying, the Lord, I know that you don't know when you're going to return, so I'm going to figure it out, and then I'm going to tell you when you're going to return. Don't do that. I tell you, what have you done for the Lord? What decisions have you made for Him? Let me read to you in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. What have you done for the Lord? What decisions have you made for Him? I tell you, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, quickly, and it says that Jesus will say, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. If we have suffered with Him, we shall also reign with Him.
In the day when Jesus begins to reign in all of His glory, we will give every one of His fellows a place of service with Him. A woman once said many years ago, "I am not interested in a big place in heaven. If I can just slip in the gate and have a very tiny corner, I will be satisfied." But my friends, the Bible says if we serve Him faithfully here in this world, He will give us more than that. He will give us a place of honor and service in the coming kingdom. Many years ago, when I was doing my nursing home ministry, there was a lady, one of the residents. She came in. I got acquainted with her. Her name was Bobby. And she asked me, she said, "Brother, can I sing a song before you preach?" And I said, "Absolutely." I loved the song that she sang, and she sang it. And it went something like this. No, I'm not going to sing it. But it went something like this. "Just build my mansion next door to Jesus and tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me, just so my mansion sits near God's throne. I have no castles nor earthly kingdoms, but my cabin will do till I get home. My mansion's yonder on the hills of glory. Oh, I hope my mansion sits near God's throne." I love that. It was so faithful. She was so faithful. And the very next Monday, I said, "Sister Bobby, you want to sing that song?" "I do." I said, "I'll never get tired of hearing it." She sang that song over and over again. And finally one Monday, I came in and they said, "Sister Bobby is really sick. She won't be in your services." I went by her room and I said, "Sister Bobby, would you sing me that song?" And she did, lying there in her bed. The very next week, I said, "Where's Sister Bobby?" And they said, "Sister Bobby closed her eyes in death last night, and she met Jesus face to face." I said, "She's singing that song, 'Just build my mansion next door to Jesus and tell the angel I'm coming home.'" Friends, I hope, have you lived your life so much for the Lord? You've done the very best of your ability that you can say, "I am ready." But the question I want to ask tonight is, are you ready to meet God? Have you done your duty? Have you done what you need to do for the Lord? But I tell you, again, you may say, "You know what, Brother Morton? I am a Christian, but I'm not sure I want God to come back. I'm not sure I want Jesus to come back right now." Because, well, I tell you, there's some things in my life that I'm not ready to give up. If you have Jesus, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. As long as you have Jesus. But if Jesus was to come in the clouds of glory, will you be able to hold your head up high and say, "Lord, I'm so glad to see you"? Or would your head be bowed in shame and say, "Lord, man, did you have to come back?" Let me tell you. You might say, "I have some things that I'm doing that's very secret." My friends, with God, it is no secret. He sees what you're doing. What will your answer be?
What will you say if Jesus should beckon you home? Tonight I talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ and what's going to take place, the rewards, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But have you lived your life so much that you can say, Lord, I'm ready? And again, you may say, I'm not sure if I'm really ready. There may be some things in your life that you need to get cleaned up. What a better time to do it now. Because, my friends, Jesus is returning again, as He said He would. And tonight may be the very night. Will you be able to lift your head up on high and say, I've done the very best I can? Or would your head be bowed in shame and say, Lord, I'm just so ashamed. And maybe tonight, you need to come and you need to repent. I'm going to ask if our musicians, if they would come please, if Brother Reuben and Sister Mary Bell, if they would come. And friends, but what will your answer be? What will you say if Jesus should beckon you home? I do not know. I hope that you can say, you know what? I believe Jesus is coming again.